chapter 32, verses 24 through 30. And these words are recorded in Holy Scripture. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him unto the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. This is the angel touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." The angel told Jacob to let him go. And he said, "I will not let you go, except thou bless me." Jacob says, "I'm not going to stop wrestling with you until you bless me." And he said unto Jacob, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." We're talking about seven vital steps to your next level. I know that this is summertime, and y'all are going in and out of town like Miss Kim, but y'all got to make sure that you, first of all, get a CD when you get back so that you won't miss a step. Amen. And secondly, I need y'all to communicate with each other and make sure that not everybody's out of town on the same Sunday. Amen. 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 Because some of y'all think, "Never mind, I am not even going to go there." But you can give online when you go out of town. Amen. 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 And so this morning, I want to just continue where we left off on last Sunday. We talked about knowing who you are. That was the first step to going to the next level. Knowing who you are, knowing where you are. And this Sunday, we're going to talk about knowing who you are. So last Sunday was knowing where you are. This Sunday is knowing who you are. Amen? Amen. So we're going to talk about knowing who you are. On your way to your seat, look at your neighbor and say, "You need to know who you are." You may be seated in God's presence. Let's ask God to bless our time together this morning. Father, we thank you and we love you. Speak from heaven today, oh God, out of the depths of your love for us. Speak a life-changing word. We thank you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I think I was in high school when we first got the internet at home. And back then, we had dial-up internet. Y'all remember dial-up? Some of y'all too young to remember dial-up internet. Took your computer about 35 minutes before it would connect to the internet. It made all those screeching sounds and all that noise, and finally it would connect to the internet, and we had to search using AOL. And y'all remember AOL would send you that CD, and you have a few free minutes that you could use, and you couldn't stay on long because you were going to use up all your minutes. I mean, that was back in the day right there, boy. And so to get on the internet, it's the same thing these days. If you want to search something, you have to go to a search engine. Most of you go to Google to search what you're looking for on the internet. Go to Google and you type in whatever you want to search for. And Google, out of the millions of websites that it could pull up, it is only subject to pulling up what you place in the search engine. Keep walking with me this morning. It's going to get good. If you go to Google and you type in war, it's going to pull up all of the websites that are talking about war, and you would leave that internet session thinking that war is the only thing that's happening in the world. But in the same note, if you go to Google and you type in peace, Google will bring up all of the websites and the internet sites that's talking about peace, and you can leave that session thinking that the only thing going on in the world is peace. Google is only subject to pull up what you place in the search engine. Out of the millions and millions of sites that it has to draw from, it is subject to only pull up what you are searching for. If you search for sickness, you'll find sickness. If you search for health, you'll find health. If you search for turmoil, you'll find turmoil. If you search for tranquility, you'll find tranquility. Whatever you put in the search engine, that's what Google is going to pull up for you. Ironically, our brains work in the same way. Whatever you place in your search engine, your brain will find it. If you wake up every morning thinking about the things that make you depressed, then all your whole day, all you're going to see is things that make you depressed. If you wake up in the morning and you put in your own mental search engine joy, then all your brain will do is find things that make you happy. Your brain is subject to only drawing from what you place in the search engine. That's why you can have two people go to the same exact event and have two different interpretations of what happens at that same event. You can go out of town with a group of people, one person to come back, one person say, I didn't like it, it was too hot, everything was too high, I didn't like the food they serve, I didn't like the beverages they serve, it was too many people, it was too crowded, I didn't like the room we stayed in, the sheets made me itch and scratch, I didn't like any of it, I don't ever want to go back. And a different person that went to the same event can come back and say, oh, I love this so much, you should have seen all of the people, the weather was nice, as a matter of fact, I want to go back, I'm going back next year, because one person entered into the event and put in their search engine problems, and so all they found were the problems that was associated to the event that they went to, and the other person put in happiness, and all they saw was the things that made them happy. So your mind is subject to find what you put in the search engine. It's called the reticular activative system in our minds, and it also works like this. When you go to the dealership to buy your car, and you find that car that you love, and all you can think about is how you're going to be the only one with a car like that. And as soon as you pull off the lot, before you can get on the highway good enough, you see five cars that's the same make, model, and the same color. Those cars have always been there, but because you hadn't put that car in your reticular activative system, then your mind never looked for it, and though they were there consciously, you never saw them because that's not what you put in your search engine. Am I teaching this morning? I told y'all it was going to get good this morning. Now, I'm going to ruffle the feathers of some of y'all this morning. Some of my die-hard horoscope people, this is going to really ruffle your feathers. I mean, we may have to take this outside after service. But I want to let you know that the horoscope works the same way. If you read your horoscope in the morning and the horoscope says you're going to have a good day, then when you go to the store and the toilet paper is on sale, you're going to say, thank the Lord my horoscope was right. If the horoscope says you're going to have a bad day and the line at McDonald's is about 5 minutes longer than you calculated, you're going to say, I knew it was going to be bad because I'm a Gemini, and it said that all the Geminis are going to have a bad day today. Don't fight me after service. I'm just trying to let you know how it works, because the toilet paper wasn't on sale just for the Geminis. It was on sale for the Pisces and everybody else too. The line wasn't just long for you. It was long for everybody, no matter what their sign was. But when you read the horoscope, it activates your reticular activative system. Am I helping anybody this morning? The problem with the reticular activative system is when you get the wrong information in your search engine. And the problem is that sometimes you allow other people to dictate what you're searching for than you would allow God to dictate what you're searching for. This is the problem with Jacob. His name means trickster. His name means somebody that's a liar, somebody that's a scammer, somebody that's no good. The name Jacob carries with it the identity of somebody who wrestles and tricks people and will fight with people. So every time they called his name Jacob, they are calling him a scam artist. As a matter of fact, when Jacob was born, he is a twin. His brother is named Esau. His brother came out of the womb first. And when his brother came out of the womb, they noticed that Jacob's hand was wrapped around his brother's heel, grabbing it as though he was trying to pull Esau back in the womb so that Jacob could be the first one to get out, so that he could be the firstborn. And when they saw his hand on the heel of his brother, they called him Jacob, because that was a wrestling move where you would grab the heel of your opponent and twist it so that you could get the advantage over him. And so for all of his life up until Genesis 32, all he knew of is that he was a scam artist. And he grows up and tricks his brother into selling him his birthright. Dresses up as his brother and goes in to talk to the blind father and tricks his blind father into giving him Esau's blessing. Trickster. He did what they called him. Let me put a pin right there and tell you, be careful how you talk to your children. I never let my kids hear me say that they are bad. Now, I oftentimes say it, but I don't let them hear me say it, because if somebody calls you bad, then all of a sudden, all your mind does is search for the bad things that you can do in order to fulfill the prophecy that they've spoken over your life. And here was Jacob's problem. He had only known himself to be a trickster. Here is Jacob's problem. He's only known himself to be a scam artist. And I wonder this morning, the number of people who are sitting in this room who could have been more, you could have achieved more, but all you did was become subject to what other people said about you. And all you did was allow them to put the information in your search engine. And all you are is a reflection of what people have said about you. But if you had taken some time in your life to get all by yourself and listen to what God had to say about you, I wonder how your life could have turned out. So in Genesis chapter 32, Jacob is going through a tough time in his life. He's about to meet up with his brother again for the first time after he's tricked him and run away from the house. He is very afraid. The Bible says that he put his children and his wives on one side of the valley, and Jacob goes on the other side of the mountain alone to pray. And that's how you discover who you really are, is in times that you spend alone. There is some value, my brothers and sisters, in me time. The greatest revelations that were given to people in the Bible were given to them at times when they were alone. When Moses was talking to the burning bush, he was alone. When David sat with his father's sheep and wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," he was alone. When the prophets are called by God, they are called while they are alone. There's value to being alone. And I know some of you in this room, you're introverted people and you like to be by yourself. You don't like to be bothered with crowds and with other people, so you don't have a problem with being alone. But there's some of you in this room, you're like me. You like crowds. You like to be with people. You like to be on Facebook to see what everybody's talking about and see what's going on. If you're not on Facebook, you got your phone and you're calling people because you don't like to be by yourself. You like to draw on the energy of other people. That's how I am. But I had to teach myself a long time ago that you got to get by yourself so that you can pray to God and put the right stuff in your reticular activated system. If you only like to hang out in the crowds, you will walk away with the wrong information. Let me tell you this morning, my brothers and my sisters, there's value in me time. So every now and then, you got to cut the phone off and close the door and tell everybody else, "Excuse me, I need some me time because I got to get my search engine going in the right direction." That's what studying your Bible does for you. That's what praying does for you. That's why it is so valuable to do it the first thing in the morning. That's why the Bible says, "Lord, when I get up in the morning, I'll seek your face," because in that way, you set your search engine in the right direction as soon as you get out of the bed, so that all day long, all you can see is the hand of God all over your life. Jacob was alone. He was alone, but he was not lonely. I wish somebody would have caught that this morning. He was alone, but he was not lonely. Oh, he was alone, but he was not lonely. It is possible, my brothers and my sisters, to be alone and to not be lonely. You don't always need a man. You don't always need a woman to make you complete. It's possible to be alone and not lonely. All my single people who are single and satisfied know what it's like to be alone and not lonely. You ain't searching for nobody. You ain't looking for nobody. You don't need to hook up with nobody. Matter of fact, you tell people, can you please leave me alone? I'm not trying to go out with you. I'm alone, but I'm not lonely. The Bible says that while he was wrestling in prayer and wrestling with tears, and Hosea goes into describing what Jacob was doing. When you read the book of Hosea, it talks about him praying, and he was crying because he's wrestling in his prayer that God would protect him from his brother and that God would give him a better identity and God would give him a better destiny. And while he's wrestling with God in prayer, God sends an angel to wrestle with him in person. Wrestling through tears, wrestling through prayer, and God sends an angel to wrestle with him in the flesh. So I had to ask the question, God, why would you send an angel to wrestle with Jacob? And I found out it's because Jacob has been wrestling his whole life. And so the language that Jacob understands is that of wrestling. He's been wrestling his whole life. He wrestled in the womb with his brother. He came out wrestling. He wrestled with his father. He wrestled with his brother. He wrestled with his identity. He wrestled with his father-in-law. He wrestled with his children. He wrestled with his wife. And so now when God wants to speak to him, God sends an angel that will wrestle with Jacob. And even though the angel could have overtaken Jacob in an instant, the angel takes time to wrestle with Jacob into the breaking of day, because the angel is on an assignment to do good to Jacob and to not harm Jacob. So the angel is wrestling with him to shape him into the person that he is supposed to be. And I don't know about you, but I'm happy this morning that God took the time to wrestle with me. Oh yeah, he had to grab hold of me a few times. He had to shake me up a few times. He had to turn my life around a few times. But I'm glad that he wouldn't let me go until he shaped me into the person that I am today. Is there anybody here this morning who's excited about the fact that God is still wrestling with you? Could have taken you out a long time ago, but he said, I'm going to still wrestle with you. Could have given up on you a long time ago, but he said, I'm wrestling with you. Knowing what people think about you, knowing what they said about you, he didn't give up on you, but he wrestled with you. While Jacob is being wrestled with by the angel does something that no man could do. He takes the hip bone of Jacob and dislocates it and pushes it out of its socket to let Jacob know that the hands that you're wrestling with are not human hands, but these are divine hands. And I just want to stop by to tell somebody that every now and then, God will put you in a divine problem so that he can begin to point you in your divine destiny. Now, this is what trips me out about the scripture. I'm telling you, this is the first time I ever seen this, and it just tripped me out. That Jacob, even though his hip is out of place, Jacob is still wrestling into the break of day. Here it is. Jacob is not even all put together, and he's still wrestling until the break of day. Here it is. He's in pain. He's hurting, and it's obvious that he's not going to win, but Jacob will not give up. He's still going to wrestle until the angel blesses him. And I don't know if I got anybody in this crowd this morning, but I ought to have a few people who say, I'm going to keep wrestling with God even though I'm disjointed, even though I got things out of place, even though I don't have everything together. I'm going to keep wrestling with him until he blesses me. I'm going to keep wrestling with him. My relationship may be out of joint. My money may be out of joint. My finances may be out of joint. My esteem may be out of joint. My mind may be out of joint. But I'm not going to give up with wrestling with God. I'm going to stay on my knees. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep fighting until God sends a blessing my way. If you're here this morning and you're going to still wrestle, even though you don't have everything together, let me know by giving God some praise. He's wrestling with Jacob. He says, Jacob, what is your name? Now remember, Jacob told him, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. But the angel of the Lord did not go into his pocket and write Jacob a check. He asked Jacob, Jacob, what's your name? He said, my name is Jacob. The angel says, no, you will no longer be called Jacob. You will be called Israel. I'm going to change your name so that I can reprogram your reticular activating system to where you are no longer looking at being a scam artist, but you'll be looking at being the prince that God has called you to be. Ooh, I wish I had a shouting church, boy. If I had a shouting church this morning, thank you, thank you, thank you. If I had a shouting church this morning, you'd be shouting all over this place because you realize that if it wasn't for God who came in and changed your name, he didn't have to change it on your birth certificate, but you knew that once you met God, you were no longer the person that you used to be. You can no longer do the things that you used to do. You can no longer live like you used to live, because when you were asking God for a blessing, he may not have given you the money that you needed, but he changed the course of your destiny. And somebody in this room this morning just needs a change of destiny. You need God to point you in the right direction. When he changed his name, he changed his destiny. And if I got to be the only person that'll thank God this morning for a course change, then let me praise him all by myself. Thank you, Jesus. When he changes his name, what he's telling Jacob is, Jacob, forget about what you used to be. Forget about what you used to do. Forget about the times that you lied. Forget about the times that you scammed somebody. Forget about your old ways, because I've changed your name and all things have become new. So you got to forget about those things which are behind you and start reaching for those things which are in front of you. Can somebody help me preach this morning and high five your neighbor and tell them, forget about it. Forget about what they said about you. Forget about what they put in your search engine. Forget about the names that they call you. Forget about the people who said you'll never be anything. I need some more help this morning. Find another neighbor and high five them and tell them, just forget about it. Just forget about the things that you did. Forget about the things that got you in trouble. Forget about the things that caught you up. Forget about the things that's embarrassing in your life. Forget. Can you find one more neighbor? And this time, give them a good high five and say, neighbor, you got to forget about it. God is changing your name. God is changing your destiny. God is changing your situation. You got a new name now. You got a new walk now. You got a new talk now. You got to forget those things which are behind you and reach for those things which are in front of you. The angel said, let me go because the day is breaking. I always thought that the angel didn't want to be seen in the daylight and that the angel would only come in darkness. But I realized that the angel has no problem with the light. But he knew that a new day was coming for Jacob. And he's telling Jacob, let me go because you got to start your new life. I woke up this morning and came to the promised church to tell somebody that the day is breaking. Your life is about to start all over again. God is getting ready to work something out that he's never done before. Eyes have not seen,
ears have not heard, neither has it entered in the hearts of man, the things that God has in store for your life. The day is breaking. 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 Somebody praise God for a new day right now. Somebody praise God that all things are going away and everything is about to be made new. Somebody thank Him for a new day right now. Oh, you think the day can only come on Monday? I want to tell somebody that before you leave this place, you will have a brand new day. I want to tell somebody that before you walk out of these doors, your day is going to break open and everything is going to be new. I believe you ought to praise Him like it's already done. Praise Him like it's already done. Praise Him like it's already done. Got a new purpose in life. You got a new direction in life. You're on a new path. You got a new destiny in life. I know what they said about you, but you're brand new. I know what they said about you, but you're brand new. I know what your friends thought about you, but you're brand new. I know what your family said about you at the family reunion when you walked away to go get some more potato salad, but I want to let them know that you are a brand new person because God had wrestled with you long enough, and some things may be dislocated in your life, but God has blessed you with a new direction. Somebody shout this morning. Somebody praise Him this morning. Somebody give Him glory this morning. Hey, 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 hey.
Glory to His name. 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 Every time I read this story, I can't but help but think about where I should have been, where I could have been, and where I would have been had God not taken the time out to wrestle with me. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. I can't even front and act like I was always a preacher. Can't even front and act like I was always saved. But oh, God wrestled with me until He had His way in my life. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Change.